Big episode. Big episode, guys. We gotta get into it. We got things to do.
Woo!
We got surprises. We got treats. We got news and news.
Mm-hmm. Damn. That's everything.
This is all. That's most of it, right?
Yeah. That was. Now you know what? We're finally getting efficient at this. This is finally got the hang of this.
We got news and we got news.
Yep, mm-hmm. We're getting real efficient when you got to say news twice with two different, slightly different emphasis. That's the only way I could think to do it. Who's that over there in that salmon-colored ball cap?
Oh, that's me, little Matt Apodaca. I'm trying not to do that. I really have, like, as of, I'm about to be 30, and I'm like, try not to infantilize myself. This is like something I'm just like working on. I'm trying not to call myself a kid or a boy or little. I'm an adult man.
Okay. Well,
I started to throw that at you now.
No, we've been very guilty of it. We've had a whole running bit about how you snuck into a fancy lady's house and your child eating candy in her fancy living room.
See, the thing that's not helpful on my end is that all of those things are true.
Yeah. I think the thing is, it's in the media, you think of a little boy hiding in a cubbyhole in a fancy lady's house. That's a little boy. In reality, of course, it's always a grown-ass man.
It's always a grown-ass man,
you know?
Yeah. But I guess.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't like how it sounds when I call myself little. So I'm going to stop doing that for me.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Yep. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That makes sense, but we're still gonna do it too.
No, you absolutely should.
That feels a little bad, so maybe we'll just scale it back.
Well, you guys are my I wouldn't say elders because you're not much older than me, but
I am. Well, just to be fair,
I would say that I look up to you, so it's okay.
We're taller than you.
We're bullies.
We're bullies. We're your bullies.
Andrew's brandishing a knife.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
It's been a while since at the beginning of lockdown, Tawny and I were on multiple Zooms just socially, and knives were definitely part of it.
Just word of advice, you can't say I'm a bully and then show a knife. Like, you just can't do that.
Yeah, casually reveal a knife.
Teeny knife. Real teeny knife.
That's a perfect little camp knife. It's good for I love a knife like that because I love to be able to peel a carrot, you know, cut myself free from some sort of local hill person's booby trap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to escape from the trap and then come up to their camp and just be like, knife to meet you. And then,
Swip right between their friggin' eyeballs.
So this is the show, Yo, Is This Racist? We introduced 30-year-old Matt Apodaca.
Right.
We're also introducing self-proclaimed much older than him, Andrew T. And no comment on my age because I want to keep working, Tawny Newsome.
That is correct. That is, we're all doing our jobs perfectly.
A couple weeks ago when I posted Nate's 40th birthday, I posted a picture of him. And said, like, oh, doesn't he look great? And somebody commented, a white person very hilariously commented, and my husband always tells me that white people age like milk. And it really got me because I'd never heard that one before. Age like milk. But it made me think, so do women in Hollywood, as far as Hollywood is concerned. We are milk on a warm shelf. Speaking of, this is a racism podcast, and we got to get to it. We got news.
Oh, we got news.
Okay, the first bit of news I want to lead with is the dumb our governor of California, Gavin Newsom, my uncle, but he spells it wrong, my favorite uncle. He has enacted these very annoying laws around COVID gatherings just in time for Thanksgiving. Also, happy Thanksgiving if you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I want to be clear that my quibble is not with the restrictions that the laws represent, because that is common sense stuff. No, we shouldn't be gathering with a bunch of multi-generational vulnerable people to eat a bunch of dry ass turkey. And
because capon or duck is the only bird to have.
Capon or duck.
Is what
also, also it's a colonizer's holiday unless you're black people, and then it's not our fault. So we get to have our yams, and everybody better shut up. So the measures in place are things like no more than, you know, people from three different households should gather. Your Thanksgiving meal should be outdoors. And then there's also a curfew, like no 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. wandering about, presumably to limit, I don't know what, house parties, because I don't think like bars and clubs are open. But whatever. Yeah.
I think that's like in conjunction with, it's like you can't keep your restaurant open till fucking whatever.
And scientifically, sure. COVID is worse at night.
Yeah.
So it's like, good that he did that for that time only.
Yeah. It's like, what's that little gremlin's name? Yeah.
Gizmo.
It's like the gremlin. Mm. Yeah, that one. I guess it's like, it is like the gremlins.
It's like like the gremlins, but on central time. Just like 10 p.m. Yeah. Don't feed them after 10 p.m.
Yes, exactly.
We're on...
Everybody knows the gremlins are on central time. But why it's relevant to this show... I just want to point out that when, again, it's not what the restrictions represent. These are things that from a health standpoint, we should be paying attention to and not doing. But when you make them laws, who, like, do we really need to give law enforcement more of a reason to harass people? Because who's going to get harassed? Take a guess. When I look around Los Angeles and I think about the families that are going to be having a quote, illegal Thanksgiving gathering or too many people. Those are brown people. Those are Latinx people. Those might be undocumented people. And when I think about the Silver Lake, you know, bungalow white people that are going to be calling whatever authorities on them, like, it's a bad scene. It's a bad thing to make it law. It's not bad what it represents, but these types of laws just, they always disproportionately affect black and brown folk. And it's just, it makes me so uncomfortable and I hate it. But I also want everyone to be very safe. And I don't know how you do that. That's why I'm not the governor. That's why it's my uncle's job. And he's done a mostly okay job at it.
I mean, yeah, he's kind of done a good but bad job. It's sort of like, you know, he really like fucked up too, because it's like, you know, he then went to a restaurant indoors in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And also... kind of can't really forgive him that his ex-wife is now dating Donald Trump Jr., which I'm like...
You know, I just learned that that's who she is. I just learned that Kimberly Guilfoyle is my Uncle Gavin's ex. Mm-hmm. I could not believe it. I'm never dropping this bit. He's my uncle forever. I learned my love of bootcut jeans from him.
Unky Gavi.
Yeah, she's a mess. Matt, wait, don't infantilize... him. That made me uncomfortable.
We're not saying Uncle Gaffy anymore. That one's going right the fuck out.
Also, that meal was at French Laundry, which like is in the middle of Yountville in Napa, and it's such a beautiful area that it would have been very lovely to just have a nice outdoor meal with like half the people, preferably. But no, they dumb.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, these laws make me feel icky because they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be stomping up to white people's houses and being like, how many of you are from the same household?
Right.
You
know?
That's interesting to think about. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's also, it's like, because we can basically be assured that our laws will be asymmetrically and racistly enforced.
Yep.
It's probably an argument that all laws... suffer from that, I guess I will
interesting.
Say.
Interesting point.
Seems like the police should have less money in their funds and more of those funds should be given to, you know, people that actually help the community and help lessen rather than increase problems. So, yeah. So that's my slogan.
If only we had some catchy wording.
Yeah, less funds for the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't waste so much money on the people who are the scariest. Yeah. I'll keep working on it.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It's our job to figure this out.
Yeah.
100%.
That was a good news.
That was a good news. Look, we're getting business-like. My second piece of news-ish, I guess this falls under culture. I don't know. I found it on Twitter. How about that?
Okay. The real news.
There is an interview, I believe, with Vanity Fair, a video interview where they're talking to comedian Hasan Minhaj. And for some reason, look, it's a clip, so I don't know, I have all the backstory, but for some reason, they've brought up the fact that Dax Shepard has rated Hasan as a 9 out of 10 in, like, attractiveness scale. And, you know, it's, like, kind of cute. They put him on the spot, and he's like, oh, my gosh, he said that about me. And so then they go, well, what do you rate Dax? And this man says, I give him a 6.57. And then, not even on some, like, bragging shit, but launches into a very succinct and well-put description of why brown men in Hollywood have to be so gorgeous to get any opportunities, and why white dudes can just be, like, I think he literally puts it, you know, like the guys I went to high school with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is so delightful and so well put. And just, I can't believe he said it. None of it's wrong, but I couldn't believe it came out of his mouth.
It was great. I loved it. I loved seeing that.
Very. Yeah. Speaking as someone who is, you know, not that, not a 9 out of 10, but also not a Dax Shepard, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the middle class that suffers in Hollywood. The middle class of looks.
So wait, what's your scale? What are the markers of your scale then?
I'm saying like the way that you know, so here's a good example. So as someone on dating apps these days, and I'm straight up blanking on this very famous man's name, but there's like everyone's like a, oh, Jim and Pam kind of deal, right? Everyone loved The Office. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, motherfucking Jim, who is fine looking, but not... John Krasinski is fine looking, but is not... is like the model like a sex symbol relationship kind of thing. Where you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, but no, but okay. And it is sort of true that, like, if you're putting him up, like, face-to-face with an Asian person as a similar sex symbol status, it's, like, people who are straight-up gorgeous.
Yeah. You know? Oh, absolutely.
And you're like, okay, well, this shouldn't be a fair fight, and somehow that's the parody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got out of that.
Yeah. And to bring it back to something we were talking about flippantly earlier, but, like, the... the literal infantilization, especially of Asian men, like the subconscious desexualization of them in our pop culture contributes to that, because then we're trained and we're coded to see them as something other than, like, you know, sexually attractive, traditionally attractive.
Yeah. And then K-pop is messing all that up, too. I'm like, oh, now this K-pop, now Asian guys going to have good self-esteem, but I'm too old to get it. Fuck. Also, this is a question that I actually had in my brain yesterday. Does every boy K-pop group have one guy that dresses like basically a Nazi?
Yeah. Okay. So for the listener, Andrew, go ahead.
All right.
Do your thing.
Andrew
straight up had to order. First of all, I'm just going to put him entirely on blast. This is all love. He needed to move the time of our record. Fine. I've done that many a time for work. But then also, because of work, he didn't have enough time to get a lunch, so he had to order a lunch, and he said, the lunch is going to come right in the middle of the record.
Yes.
And Matt, what'd we say?
Wouldn't be the show if that weren't the case. If it's either that, or he'd be, like, burning chicken on his stove during the show.
Yeah. So we said, we're not going to gloss over this. The listeners deserve the truth.
But I love the timing of that, too. The just the timing of Andrew teeing up a question. Then the doorbell rings. He's like, now's my time to exit to get my food. And Andrew, may I ask, what did you order?
I got ramen, but I don't know why.
Oh, good, a nice slurper.
It's in so many. Oh, my God. You know what?
That's an interesting point. Do people, because I know people claim they have misophonia and they don't like people chewing on podcasts, but is chewing worse than slurping, or is slurping worse? Yeah. That's
what would be worse? Oh, a big bag of Doritos, just a big crunch crunch, or a real Lady in the Tramp extended edit of just slurping?
Okay, I'm gonna just admit the even worse thing, which is because I was
there's
like
so many boxes.
Oh my god. Well, so
did they give this to you to make yourself?
It literally is okay.
Is
it's
this
like
a HelloFresh?
Every it basic. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Soup on my lap. Okay, we're fine. Everything is separate.
Uh huh.
Some
okay.
veggies.
Yeah, they got to do that.
And finally, the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Uh-huh. Okay, well, I guess I'm putting all this shit together on air. This is a special
great.
Treat for all.
Well. Andrew, everyone. Were you going to make a point, or were we going to take a break and then take it to voicemail?
Oh, no, my only point was, I'm sorry, everyone, that I'm like this, but I literally am balls to the wall timing-wise today, and I apologize. And I apologize for just saying balls to the wall. I'm a bad person. Let's take
all
a
right.
break.
Let's take a break. And we're back. We're watching Andrew build his ramen. It's going to be a delight for all of you to hear and experience. There's just
it
so
looks
much
like it's
going
to be really good.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
We
all
see
right.
the little
okay.
nori right there. That looks lovely. Uh-huh.
All right. Broth.
And the broth is
stirring
going
it to sort of tantalize us.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
Why don't we? No, it's just so heavily packaged. Did they deliver this to you in just like an open wagon?
I mean, it was basically the size of a full grocery bag. This is wow. this is like, not kidding. Okay,
Jordan, why don't Broth? We give him some time? Why don't we kick a voicemail, and we'll listen to this voicemail while we watch him assemble this.
Hi, Connie and Andrew, love the show. So I'm Chinese and from Brooklyn. My partner is Puerto Rican, and when we're in public, I do this thing where I point out all the couples that are of Asian women and white men, I guess, because I kind of have a chip on my shoulder about white men. Anyway, my partner started calling these couples colonizationships. Fun word. I think all white men secretly have yellow fever, and I secretly judge Asian women for choosing to date and marry white men at high rates. Is that racist? Am I racist or sexist against my own people for judging them this way? Thanks.
Wow.
This call is incendiary.
This is really going to burn some shit down.
Yes.
Colonization ships. Good gravy.
Yeah.
She basically emptied the clip on white men.
Truly. They done.
Yeah. Aired him out.
That, I was like, did she empty the clip on Asian women too hard?
Interesting.
Does that make me a bad person for selecting this email? Or voicemail, as it were.
Look, she's not being kind to nobody in
no.
this.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's cool with her partner. That's about all. Everybody else is suspect and will incur her wrath. And frankly, we have to stand. We look up to you. And like, you know, I'm not mad at the thoughts. Maybe you want to control where they go.
We must where stand you... a bridge burning queen. Simply destroying everything. I mean, so I should say right now that probably this line of thought is the thing that has gotten me in the most, like, actually, I need to apologize to people thing that I've kind of said on this podcast before.
Sure.
Starting with my brother-in-law, wonderful man.
Sure.
Who is a white dude. I will say he doesn't, you know, if you're a good one, you don't give a shit. That's, you know, that's kind of how it works if you're the white man in this situation.
Yeah.
But I did get in trouble one time. So my cousin, who is Chinese, her partner is a white man as well. And I think, so I said something to, you know, the caller's effect, more or less, maybe not as, certainly not as well phrased as colonization chips, but I said it, I think, on a podcast episode or maybe just Twitter or something, and she got more mad at me than him.
Oh, interesting.
And there's a part where it's like, the fucked up part, I think, is like kind of accusing her of not being Asian enough.
Sure.
Which, you know, first of all, rich coming from me. And yeah, I don't know. So that was sort of like where I was like, okay, fine. I will actually apologize to you because I don't need the smoke at, actually, probably, I think it may have been Thanksgiving last year. now that I'm thinking about it.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Happy 1 year anniversary of this fucking topic for you.
Yeah. So maybe that's why it was on my mind. But yeah, so I'm sorry. So that was the backstory I wanted to give, because I was like, you know, I've said this shit too. But it also is different coming from a woman, because I think there are a lot of real horrible Asian men who like express this sentiment and kind of like a, we have ownership or we deserve ownership over Asian women kind of thing. Dovetailing a little bit with the anti-sexualization stuff we were talking about in earlier.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I can only speak from my own experience, and I've definitely, it's also different because there isn't that societal idea of like white men fetishizing, I can never say that word, fetishizing black women isn't as prevalent as it is for Asian women. But I'm always more okay with the shade from black women than I am from black men for having a white husband. Like, if black women give me shit, I'm like, all right, I know. But if black men do, I'm like, you don't own us. I get real wild. Yeah, so that's it's a tricky thing. Caller, I love that the caller's like, my partner's Puerto Rican, so I'm in the clear. Like, almost this weird feeling of like, you feel like you, nothing's wrong with what you're doing, so you can kind of like cast, you know, I mean, that's this whole fucking podcast is us just casting judgment on other people who are just doing shit slightly differently than us.
I like the confidence. I like what the caller's doing. I wish I could do it like she does.
But that's a good
version.
That's a good point, though. It's like we think it's funny and we're not like mad at you for it, but like heed Andrew's warning that you might run into some trouble with your legit family members, because I'm sure you got some cousins dating some white dudes. I know you do. I put money on it.
A wonderful, yeah. This is the Yo Is This Racist betting show. We should put bets on people. On people's questions.
On colonization ships?
Yeah.
Jesus.
God, what a good phrase that is absolutely unusable.
Yeah. I've already said it too many times and I don't like it.
This call gave us a lot. There's a lot of gifts here.
Matt doesn't want to touch this fucking thing. He wants to be so far away from it. I don't blame you.
I'm so nervous, but I gotta give it up for my Puerto Rican brother in this call here. Represent.
Sure. Yeah. No, the caller, you have successfully trapped and released a live skunk into our virtual space here, and we don't know really how to handle it. And congrats, because that doesn't happen often on this show. So thanks for
skunks are cute. I love a skunk.
They're cute until.
But... Yeah, I don't want
to. Yeah, wait until you know what happens. I'm not even going to say, but you know.
Oh, damn.
Matt too doesn't want to touch that.
Too hot for the pod.
No, yeah, too hot for the pod.
Oh, my gosh. Andrew, speaking of hot, how's your ramen?
It's both spicy and cold, so it's...
Interesting.
The other thing about it is, yeah, whenever it arrived in the recording session... It was supposed to be here about 30 minutes before that. So I had actually, according to the delivery app, had it timed so I could almost be done eating it before we started. But that's not how it went down.
Is that the pork? It just looks like a piece of wet bread.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like just a single slice of wheat bread that you pulled out of the water.
It really is like pulling it out of the water is a really good way of describing what's happening here.
That soup of water. Yeah.
But it's good. Again, thank you everyone for rolling with this. I am sort of sorry.
Is this a place you frequent?
No, I haven't been here at all since it's Men-O Ramen in Little Tokyo. I used to go there a lot when I was not trying to not spread COVID or contribute to the spread of COVID. But yeah, I have not been all locked down. It's fucking great.
Wow.
All right. Well, on that note, why don't we kick another voicemail?
Hi, I'm from White Plains, New York. Here's my question. I was listening to another podcast about race, and they were explaining the history and evolution of the term people of color and how originally it referred to Black Americans and Indigenous Americans, but that now it's been expanded to include people who are Latinx, Asian, Middle Eastern, Arab, and then they said, and especially Muslims. And I was really confused what religion would have to do with it. And I understand that Muslims have been discriminated in this country, but so have LGBT people and disabled people and all sorts of other groups. And so I didn't understand why someone's religion would impact their status as a person of color. Is a white woman in a hijab a person of color? And should a white Jewish Hasidic person wearing traditional Hasidic garb be considered a person of color in that case? So I was just kind of confused and trying to understand how that term is being used and whether you agree with that designation. Thanks so much.
First of all, who the fuck is this other show?
I was going to say, I don't love that. A couple things at the top. As soon as I heard White Plains, I got nervous.
Like, wait a second.
Matt, it's just a play.
Okay,
It's just a decent upstate New York play.
I didn't know.
Is it upstate?
I think so.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've ever had the... You called into this podcast to ask about another racism podcast. Have we ever had that kind of a question before?
I don't know if we have. I certainly have before you joined. And we've certainly got ahead and not answered a couple that were like, we're not touching this. So they have been in the inbox before. I mean,
I don't. Yeah, like without knowing the context of what they're talking about, I don't understand. I'm also confused, caller. I share your confusion about why they would just say, and also Muslims. Seems like I need more information about why that was included.
I mean, I guess for me, it's that speaking most colloquially, like the reason there's racism, like the Islamophobia is not only... Mm-hmm. It's, I'll say the thing that maybe is wrong, but is mostly right, which is that Islamophobia is about hating Arabs, you know, and does that mean that all Muslims are Arab? No, but it's sort of like what Islamophobia is at its heart in America is that different in China. So that's sort of why I think, like, you know, though it is incorrect, it's sort of mostly correct to be like, you're talking about Arab people and maybe some other brown folks that, like, you know, that white racist Americans don't distinguish between.
Yeah.
So
that
then
makes
it,
sense.
Yeah. So then it becomes about race. Even though it is technically incorrect, it's like, yes, but it's, I think when I hear that, I like totally get what they're getting at, even though they're wrong.
But that makes sense. But in practice, anyone who's using the term people of color, they are going to, just speaking very broadly, one would think that they would have a slightly more nuanced understanding of the separation between the thing that you're talking about that gets conflated doesn't really apply when you're talking about the use of this term people of color, because if you're white and you happen to be a Muslim, you don't get to then just be a person of color.
Correct. Yeah.
So what the caller's actually asking is not I think what the, it sounds like what the podcast was doing was shorthanding what you just explained. But what the caller has done is maybe incorrectly extrapolate that then that would apply to white people who are of these religions.
Well,
right?
I mean, but then again, it's like, it's a little, you know, okay, here's maybe a kind of example of sort of what I'm talking about, which is like, you can be the victim of homophobic hate crime, even if you are not queer. And thus, like, a white woman in a hijab could face some sort of bigotry that is, on some level, religious bigotry, but the heart of that religious bigotry is racism against, again, like, sort of brown people in general.
Yes.
So
but
that's
as
why
we all know, as we, because I'm sure we've all been misidentified by a bigot before. Mm-hmm. Just the act, though, of us being able to experience the wrong kind of bigotry doesn't then lump you into a class of people that you're not.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, that is correct. But I guess that's why it's like, I think for me, I'm like, the caller is like technically right without saying anything useful.
Yeah.
It's like, sure.
Yeah.
You win the trivia contest, but you don't get a better understanding of life or how to behave from the point that was just made.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't do anything to make this weird distinction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess correct distinction. And, but like, I'm just like, okay. But like, functionally for your life in fucking White Plains, like, the podcast was correct.
Look, we don't know your life in White Plains, okay? We're not going to pretend to know your life in White Plains.
I've been to White
Plains. We don't know where you live in White Plains.
I've been to White Plains too,
but we don't know this person's life.
I've been to the caller's house. I promise. Oh,
twist.
I'm there right now.
So this call is a plant.
I'm living in the attic? Where do you...
So why Matt, couldn't the so caller you, go answer you, the door?
Would you crawl out at night?
Yeah. When I do my little sneaky moving around.
You're like hiding. It's like a crawl space, I guess.
Sort of a crawl space situation between the walls, you know, like in the attic. Maybe if I'm not careful and I don't time it right, probably standing behind a curtain for a really long time.
Oh, all right.
Under a bed.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, gotta just take whatever space I can get in.
Right.
Parasite That's, style you know under a table, under a coffee table.
Parasite style. Hell yeah, man. I'm loving that.
Oh, we love you, Matt.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's right for the caller. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I had in White Plains, I went to a fancy restaurant where I had pasta with snails and lamb tongue in it. It was so good.
What?
Yeah, escargot and lamb tongue.
Was this at a restaurant called I Dare You?
It was really expensive.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yo, try it.
I bet you it's good.
The restaurant was
called some wild meals, but that was too many wilds in one sentence.
The restaurant was called I'll Give You a Dollar If, and then they just put you in front of
it's my uncle's restaurant.
Yeah. I'll give you a dollar. I'll give you a dollar if you eat that.
You gotta swallow it though.
Yeah.
You gotta chew the whole thing.
You gotta,
show me your
you
tongue after.
Prove, yeah, show me your tongue. Prove you swallowed it. Prove you swallowed it. No, shit was good.
Well, when restaurants are able to safely open back up again, maybe we'll pitch this together. Business ideas.
Yeah.
There we go.
Both callers today, thank you for calling in and keeping it short. I feel like those were like right around a minute or maybe a little less, and felt good. Felt like a good rhythm. It felt like the show was on the rails. Felt like things were efficient.
Perfectly on the rails. We're so on the rails.
Andrew's
we're
got
dialed
his ramen.
In. We're dialed in. Everything is perfect. We've hit our stride.
just in time. So we're just doing those two voicemails this week because we have news and we wanted a second to talk about it.
Breaking news.
This is genuinely very important news, and I'm very, you know, very invested in it, but I also genuinely am not going to stop eating. So
no, he's got to keep eating. But this is the most important news of this podcast ever, maybe? Maybe ever. Andrew can't answer. He just ate a huge piece of wet bread looking pork.
I'll translate. He went,
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
So the news is bittersweet, but it's also exciting. So we're going to gloss over the bittersweet part.
Yeah.
Andrew and I are taking the podcast and we are leaving the network. We're leaving Earwolf. We are, the bittersweet part is we're going to miss Jordan so much.
Yeah, very much. Thank you so
Jordan,
much,
Jordan. You've been absolutely wonderful to just like work with and play with these 2 years or however long since I've joined. And it's been really lovely having you. Unfortunately, she cannot come with us. We tried to put her in our suitcase.
I can't fit.
Sneak her. she can't fit all of her talent in that suitcase because Earwolf said, no, she works for us. She can't go away.
Yeah.
Also, there was a very small suitcase. There was, I don't know what I was thinking.
I couldn't get my legs in, but yeah.
No, but really, Jordan, we'll miss you so much.
Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, we want to thank you. And listeners, you should send us things that we can read about Jordan on air so that on our independent show, if she ever feels like hearing about racism, she can just listen in on that. And then we'll say nice things about Jordan every time.
Oh, please do that. I was going to say, Jordan, obviously, you can take a break from having to listen to every episode like literally 4 times.
That's true. This is probably kind of nice for you to have a break.
Yeah, I get quadruple the racism. I thank you so much, and I am honored to work on this show. As a white woman, I am very, very, very honored to be able to even be around this show. So
no, one of the
thank
best.
Thank you.
One of the best white, one of the white best. People.
And your perspective has been valuable on lots of things over the years.
Thank you.
So that also means that we are losing Matt in an official capacity, but it's not quite as sad to say goodbye to Matt because he's still going to come by as a friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be around, you know, sort of like like a neighbor sort of popping in from time to time being like, what's going on with you crazy kids in there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
everyone's still racist.
He's gonna come by in a very casual and not at all contractually conflicting way that in any way endangers his job at Earwolf.
Yes, yes, exactly.
He has no official duties.
You're not hiding in the curtains.
No, this is sort of like, you know what? This microphone is behind the curtain. That's sort of like how it went. But like, yeah, I'll be around from time to time. You'll still hear me when you know. Sometimes you just gotta have a little chat about some racist stuff. So,
look, here's the thing, is before Matt was our producer, and from now on Matt's gonna come talk about racism for fun.
Yes. So, yeah, now it's not work, now it's fun. You know, I mean, I took on the show during this. I've never done an in-studio one with you guys before, so when I was handed this show, I was like, oh, great. I'm like, I was nervous because I was like, you guys are such an established thing. Like, you guys have such a good like thing going. I hope I don't fuck it up in any significant way. But it's been nice to, become part of the squad and get folded into the show. And I love you guys and I love doing the show with you.
Yeah, we love you too.
We love having you.
You got to be part of some fan art.
I got to be part of some fan art, a very flattering drawing of me. Made me look hot as hell. that was great. Love that.
I mean, of course, we will need the fan art revised to have Matt's face X'd out. It was nice while I was there.
Cross me out. or also put me maybe in quotation marks so I'm not like super official.
Yeah.
Matt, sort of, that's like, good.
Yeah. This Matt's here.
Yeah.
You got to make sure it's very chill so he doesn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
But no, that's you know, a big part of this is moving on so that we can grow the show in the way that we want to, but also not, you know, not putting anybody in a tough spot. So we want Matt, of course, to be with us, but also, you know, we got to respect the fact that he still works here and, you know, we don't want to mess with that at all.
Yep.
But I would, you know, I feel compelled to say that we are sad to be leaving because we loved the people here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what kept us here for so long, it's not a secret. I think that I've been struggling with some of the structural things, some of the ad sale things. It's definitely not a secret. And I'm not saying much, but it's definitely, I would feel crazy to not say that we were, you know, that we were unhappy and we were not being supported here. But the people who did try and support us, like Colin, like Kevin Bartelt, like all of our producers we've had here, the direct people we've worked with who tried to support us, that's why we stayed, because it's the heart of all the people that make Earwolf so great. It's just not, we realized it's not a good fit for us as a company.
I think that's right.
So
So we're doing our own thing. We have some projects to sort of announce, but you know, keep. Actually, don't even know how much we're supposed to say right now, so I will say less than more. But keep following us on the social media, and we'll be making announcements very soon.
You don't have to resubscribe. The feed will stay the same. But if something does get weird, you know, there's a little bit of transitional stuff that I don't fully understand that our new producer is handling. So if anything does get weird and you're like looking for us, you know, you can still search the same name of the show.
Hopefully won't, but there definitely may be some technical stuff that will bobble. But hopefully it's transparent to everyone. No one who's listening now will have to do anything, unless they very much have to do something.
But one thing that you can do if you want is we're exploring different ways that you guys can support us, support the show. Over the years, you guys have always asked, like, how can we support you guys? How can we directly, you know, and we've tried certain things out. We've tried premium content here. We've done live shows. We've sold merch. What we're really excited about is we've come up with a, I think, really fun, easy, cool way for us to make stuff and get it directly to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a place for that, for you to, you know,
support us directly.
You'll get some news about that dropped in this very feed. We might have a trailer for some new, like, premium content type stuff coming out. We'll talk more in depth about it next week.
Yep.
It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. Well, it will be a very stressful time, but fun for us. And hopefully it will be a great time for everyone else. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it is going to be a great time because we're being weird and cagey because we want to be respectful to this place that we're leaving and not just like try and sell our new thing to you. But what I will say is that that's really important is that we're not going to another network. I probably should have led with that. We're going completely independent.
Yes.
We're doing it completely ourselves because especially after I released my album this year, I was like,
Tawny's a business owner.
Full control. Yes, I am a mogul. Look at my monocle.
Citizen Tawny is
Mr.
here.
Peanut.
This, it's not an ending, really. If you're a listener, it really is not an ending. You know, truly, this is mostly just us saying thanks and goodbye on the show to Jordan and to some extent Matt. But everything else should be the same, but more amped up, more the same. I don't know.
More amped up.
I mean, how much more amped up? How much more soup could I eat on an episode? Find out
next
week.
Here's what I will say. Yeah, when you tune in next week to the independent Yo, Is This Racist, the soup will be hot.
The soup will be hot. There's going to be more soup. Andrew's going to eat so much freaking soup on the new show. You're going to be like, is this Yo, Is This Racist? Or is this Yo, Andrew's eating soup?
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to 100% be the latter. Just FYI.
We love you guys. We're still taking calls.
Yes.
Everything's normal. We're just adding other stuff that we'll tell you about next week. So call in 323-389-RACE. That's 323-389-7223. I did it.
Yes. Hey. Finally dialed in.
Yeah.
We're perfect.
And follow us at Trondi Newman, at Andrew T, at Matt Apodaca, at Yo Is This Racist for all the details.
Yeah.
And here's to new stuff.
Cheers.
Big ol' slurp.
Cheers.
Big
ol' slurp. Let me get my water bottle.
Okay, wait. Okay. All right, ready?
Oh, I don't have
Does everybody have a liquid?
All right. Cheers.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Now, Matt, you got to drink that ballpoint
pen. Oh, no. Slurp, slurp, slurp.
Oh.
Bye.
Bye.